So our second lesson today is one that I've actually had the gift of preaching multiple times previously in this congregation, because for some reason your associate preaches often in mid-July. But it's the story of Martha and Mary. It comes to us from the chapter 10 of the Gospel according to Luke. So let us listen to this story of contrasts between two sisters. Now, as they went on their way, that would be Jesus and the disciples, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And this is God's word to us this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God of love, we come and we gather seeking your word in a world that is full of pain. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may help us to seek the power of your love in our world today. Amen. So this summer, we are focused on stories of journey. We've heard of the great journey of the book of Ruth and Naomi, with Naomi first going into a foreign land as a refugee from famine, and then her return to her homeland with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who becomes the foreigner herself. We've heard the story of Jonah and his journey, which is based mostly on his attempts to avoid the work that God is calling him to do. And then today, when I looked at our lectionary text, I saw a story that is not about journey, but is instead about a stop along the way. And I couldn't resist it. So that's what we're reading. The great journey in all four Gospels is that of Jesus and the disciples who slowly and surely make their way from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem. And like all great road trips in large groups, there are many, many stories of what happens along the way on this journey. And so today we pause in our stories of journey throughout this summer, and we listen instead to a story of a pit stop at a friend's house when Jesus and the disciples spend an evening at Martha and Mary's. And at the heart of this story, it is a story of hospitality. It comes to us from a time and a climate where all journeys were long and hot and dusty, and people needed to know that when they showed up unannounced at homes of friends or strangers, they would find welcome, rest, and food, water to wash their feet, water to nourish their parched throats. In our lectionary selections for this week, the story of Jesus' stop at Mary and Martha's is compared and contrasted with the story of Abraham welcoming strangers that comes to us from many generations before Mary and Martha. In the story of Abraham, we see a host who runs to welcome the guests that he does not know and offers them rest in the shade of a tree, while Sarah and Abraham both go to work offering their best for the guests. Sarah makes cakes with choice flour, while Abraham kills a calf, tender and good. They both go to work with the energy to provide hospitality. And when the guests are served, Abraham goes to be with them under the tree and to listen to what they have to say. It's a story of welcome and hospitality that informs us of the expectations that God has for how we treat one another. The expectations for welcome which have been passed down through the generations of Israelites until we get to the story of Martha welcoming her friend Jesus while he is on his long journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. Now we know from the story of Abraham and many others, plus what we would expect in our own society today, that Martha's concern that everyone is fed and cared for is justified. She has good reason to be working hard in the kitchen, just as Abraham and Sarah worked together to provide for their guests in our Old Testament lesson. Martha expects that Mary should be working at her side to provide for the guests in their home. And so she is upset, with good reason, that her sister is choosing to sit and listen to Jesus and taking no part in what Martha sees as the essential work of welcoming Jesus to their home. Now, despite the fact that Jesus does seem to love to flip centuries-old social expectations on their heads throughout his teaching, I don't believe he's trying to tell Martha that she should not be trying to feed all the hungry travelers. Instead, he's addressing her anxiety over the situation. And I don't blame Martha for being anxious. Suddenly having Jesus and a troop of disciples show up at your doorstep for a stopover on their journey would be anxiety-producing. I would not want to find myself suddenly needing to provide room and food and water to wash feet and all of the other aspects of welcome that were just expected for a large group of people who have been walking on dusty roads all day. So if we go back to the original Greek version of the story, we see the focus on Martha's anxiety over the situation is emphasized. There is a term used to describe Martha in verse 40, which appears only here in all of the New Testament, and it's perispazo. It's translated by most of our English translations as either distracted or encumbered, or cumbered about. But if we break down the Greek, we see peri, meaning around or encompassing, and spao, which is the root of our English words spasm and spastic. So in his commentary and translation of the text, Mark Davis suggests translating it as Martha was totally spazzed with all the work she had to do. And if we go into verse 41, the Greek describes Martha's actions as merimena, meaning worry. It's the same verb that all of Jesus' statements about how we should not worry. And thurubaza, meaning terrify or panic, which elsewhere in the New Testament refers to uproar and wailing. It's also used in Acts when somebody falls out of a second-story window. That is also a time of therobeza. So we get this image that's presented is one that we've perhaps seen, maybe on a Thanksgiving day, or maybe we've been that person ourselves at some large event, when the hostess is so over-the-top anxious and spastic, she's about to have a panic attack. That's Martha in today's story. And then this attitude, Martha comes and demands that Jesus commands her sister to come and help. Jesus refuses, and he essentially tells Martha to calm down and reevaluate what is really important. In today's lingo, he might tell her to chillax. Mary is sitting and listening, enjoying his visit, learning from what he has to share, while Martha is working herself into a tizzy, trying to get the perfect dinner on the table. It is Martha's anxiety that is the issue. She is so worked up on the need to be hospitable that she's missing the whole point of why Jesus is there. She's missing the opportunity to learn and to grow, to enjoy time with her friend and her teacher, who will not be there for long. In trying to get her work done, she's missing the point of why she needs to do the work at all. It's about welcoming Jesus, being with Jesus, having him there, and all she's thinking about is the dinner. We see this in the life of the church as well. There are things that need to get done. Committees and session need to meet so that we can continue to gather and to serve. Announcements and newsletter articles need to be written so that people are aware of the opportunities to participate in the life of the church. The choir needs to rehearse so that they can gift us with the music and song. And money needs to be deposited and counted and then deposited would be the best order, so that checks can be written. There are necessities. There are countless tasks, big and small, that are necessary in the life of a church. Yet we, like Martha, run the risk of getting too focused on these tasks and forgetting why we are doing them. We can get so anxious and worked up over the work that we forget that it's for Jesus. We get focused on carpets and committee structure, on capital campaigns and rental contracts, which is not to say that it is not important or necessary. The danger is when it becomes the source of our anxiety and distracts us from our core mission, to witness to Jesus' love and teachings and to listen for where we are called to be disciples today. Now, in my time at Westminster, I have definitely had my moments of getting caught up in the anxiety over the necessary work. There have been times when I was so focused on getting all the paperwork for mission trips done and in the proper order that I could not get excited for the trip itself. So focused on getting supplies in order that I missed the excitement of the kids who gathered for Vacation Bible School, ready to hear the stories of God. So fixated on getting volunteers lined up for the shelter that I forgot the reason we do this is because Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." While we may not often find ourselves in Martha-esque spasms of anxiety, it's important to keep her example in mind. This is a time of great transition at Westminster, a new century in the life of the church, new pastors, new opportunities before you. There will be temptation to focus on the work and the tasks at hand and to miss the opportunities to sit and listen, to relax and learn from our community and our world, to hear the Spirit speaking in our neighbors and in our own hearts, leading us forward, calling us to use our gifts. When Martha confronts Jesus about the help she needs, she's very focused on herself. The tense is all first person. She wants Jesus to ally with her plans. She is not interested in what his opinion may be or what he would like or suggest. And this is typical of a time of anxiety. We become so focused on ourselves and our own needs, and the work and the tasks are allowed to take control so that we can no longer hear or pay attention to what God may have to offer. When we get anxious about what is needed to keep our programs going, our building efficient, our office staffed, we can miss what God may actually be trying to say. We need to work. It takes work to stay open to God's call and listening for the word. So while this congregation is in a time that could be anxiety-producing, our world needs a faithful presence that is not anxious. In the last 2 weeks alone, We've witnessed shootings of black men and police officers. The unbelievable pain one man in a truck can unleash on a crowd in Nice. The chaos that runs just under the surface of our international politics with the attempted coup in Turkey. Our world is in desperate need of a quiet, reflective presence, ready to sit and listen, to really listen, to hear what is being said in the pain and in the anguish, to see the image of God in all people, to value the gifts and the contributions that each individual person brings to our world and our community. We have a gift to offer our world in our ability to be the Mary who sits and listens, who reflects, to see all people as brothers and sisters, and to value the multitude of gifts and abilities. And I find this interesting. I admit I have not yet entered the fad of playing Pokemon Go. But I am paying some attention to this fad of playing a game on your phone where you're trying to catch little virtual monsters that run around our neighborhoods. And I'm intrigued in this by the fact that churches and places of worship are generally Pokemon gyms in this game. In fact, our own church is a Pokemon gym in this game. And so it is this that we become this place where you take your little virtual creature for training and growth, because the gym is the place to train and grow. So in a world where a rising number of people see themselves as having no religious affiliation at all, it's the places of worship that are still where you go for training and growth. There's a gift in this fact that is recognized more widely in our community. There is a gift in our ability to model an attitude like Mary's, one where we listen in order to grow, where we seek to understand, to be taught, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it's a gift that we can offer in a world that is hurting and full of pain. However, in order to offer that, we can't stay here. Because in understanding the story of Mary and Martha, it's important to put it into the context of the larger story of Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. It comes right after the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, in the Good Samaritan, we hear of a man who is praised for his action and energy, the very opposite of Mary's reflective behavior. And in his reflections on these stories and the way that the Good Samaritan and Mary and Martha balance one another, the Presbyterian pastor and teacher Fred Craddock offers this reflection. Craddock says, "If we censure Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. And if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to listen and reflect, knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. If we were to ask Jesus which example applies to us, the Samaritan or Mary, his answer would probably be yes." Craddock's response is right in line with Jesus' typical mode of teaching. The answer to whether we are called to be like the Good Samaritan or Mary is yes. We cannot stay entirely in a mode of listening. We must go out and get things done where there is truly a need. It is a balance. The contrast of the story of the Good Samaritan and that of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. We listen in order to act. We cannot get so caught up in acting that we forget to listen, and we cannot get so caught up in listening that we forget to act. Today we are going to be commissioning three of our youth to go out to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium, which is be held in Indiana this week. And it's an event that is held every 3 years for Presbyterian high school students. About 5,000 of them are expected this year. It's an event that I went to myself as a high school student. It's a time where youth gather for study, for prayer, for worship, and for service projects. It's a time of deep, deep listening to what God is saying, even as they make new friends, play games, and make shoes out of old jeans, which is a service project of this year. The theme this year is go, do, taken from the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. It is a command that we all follow, to go and do. These are the words we will use in commissioning our youth this morning. We are called to live out our faith in this world. We are called to go and do. But in order to go and do, we must sit and listen. We must not allow ourselves to get worked up into a tizzy or a spastic attack. So you can start, as you send these youth to Triennium this week, by listening when they return. Hear stories of where they see God at work in the community around them and the wider church. Listen to one another, to your own stories. As a pastor, one of the greatest gifts I receive is hearing your stories, the way in which you all have experienced God's love and God's grace in your own lives. So do not be afraid to share with each other. Listen to the world around us. Do not get caught up in anxiety and fear, but listen to the voices of pain and of hope, the good ideas and the flawed ones. And listen for where God may be calling you to go and do. But above all, I encourage you to be wary of those times when we get so caught up in the work, necessary and otherwise, that we become so anxious we can think only of ourselves and our own needs. We are called to live into the words that our 2015 confirmation class used to conclude their statement of faith, words which we will use in our affirmation of faith today. Don't worry, be chill. To God be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.